Well, thank you, Yen and Ang. Thank you very much for special music. Please share with other services, you know, church services that week you could. It's wonderful. How are you guys doing? Good? Good? Very happy that we have a very good pianist. Really uplift the song. Thank you very much. For God bless your wonderful talent, Philip, and for the singing group as well. Thank you. This morning, I want to share with you something here that as I revisit some of the story, I wonder what is the foundation of our spiritual life. And so I want to share with you a story here as we begin. And I have a series, and so anyway, I want to share with you about this. So God have only one way of salvation, okay? As we visit through the Bible, and we see that clearly in the Bible. So I want you to think about this. How are you going to build your ark? Okay? God asked Noah to build his ark, and now we need to look at or we revisit our Noah ark. And within that, how are we going to have the spiritual foundation? So please come with me to the book of Genesis, okay? That's where we're going to start. Genesis chapter 6. And as you get into that, I want to read one of the quotation that is very, when I read ancient writing, and this is very important. And she said that the foundation is a principle of truth. Okay, the foundation, a spiritual foundation, is a principle of truth. When Jesus have conversation with Nicodemus, okay? And so we're going to see that very clearly when we see, put all these two together, okay? Thank you so much, John. All right, you are with me in the book of Genesis chapter 6. All right, I hope everyone bring your Bible and pay close attention to what the Lord have in store for us here. Now, we look at this story here, the wicked that's happened upon this earth. God created this earth's perfect world. Okay, since sin entered the world, and God needs to stop it or else everything will contaminate it. Right? If you work in the lab, right? If any small thing contaminates, you destroy the whole thing. Well, the world is contaminated by sin, and if God does not destroy sin, this whole earth, everyone will be contaminated. And so, chapter 6, and I want you to go verse 11. And there's what happened. No, God created this earth. God have no intention to destroy the earth, right? If you create something so beautiful, would you like to destroy it? No. But there's something going wrong, right? Something going wrong, just like a scientist, right? You create something, you're going wrong, you got to destroy it before they destroy you, right? So, verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. The whole earth was filled with violence. And so God looked upon the earth, and indeed was corrupt. All flesh, all, has corrupted their way on the earth. And of course, you know that when man and woman is corrupt the things of the whole earth got cursed, right? And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh have come before me, for their earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Okay? God wanted to destroy his creation with the earth, so he don't want to see all this again. I mean, so ugly, so sick. You want to destroy, just like you have a painting, right? When you draw and you make a mistake, guess what? Man, you erase it and paint it again. This earth he created, and he had to destroy. You know, it's hurt him, right? It's hurt him to destroy. And so guess what? He say this back into verse 7. And so the Lord say, I will destroy men whom I have created from the face of the earth, both men and beast, creeping thing and the bird of the air. I am sorry that I have made them. And the next verse is, but. When you say the word but, you pay attention. What happened? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, can God destroy everything? He could. But when he see one thing is still beautiful, one thing is still perfect, he couldn't keep that. And here it is. Noah is perfect in the eyes of God. Now, the history of the Israel, you see it. He created the whole nation. If the nation went wrong, he find one person is still perfect. He should use that person to start the whole nation. Remember the story that when Moses took the people out of Egypt? And the people complaining, and God said, I'm going to destroy these people. And God said, Moses, I'm going to destroy everyone, and I will bring you to start a new nation. Right? What Moses say? No, God, do not do that. These are your people. What if other people would think? You bring them out of the wilderness, and you destroy them in wilderness? And even Moses say this, if you have to destroy them, then remove my name of the book of life. And so that's what we see is God is really upset. God do everything to save people, but people live very wicked. And here it is. This story go about Noah. God can use Noah to start something fresh, but God to have destroyed. And so here it is. How God say, these are the people. Give them 120 years, right? Go back in verse 3. My spirit shall not strive with men forever, for he is indeed flesh. Flesh, not spiritual thing. Yet his day shall be how much? 120 years. So before God sent a tornado or Mother Nature hit this land, he always sent a message and warning how many people? Warning everyone. Everyone. And he warning how long? 120 years. Is that long enough for people to repent? That should be long. But people didn't repent. Did you know when Noah entered the ark and the door was locked by whom? By God, and the flood came right away? No. 7 more days. Either test the people in the ark, also to test people outside the ark as well. So in other words, God give plenty of grace. Plenty of time for you and I to learn about it. And so only way of saving your soul is through enter the ark. Think about this. There's no way. Only one way to go inside the ark. The door is open. Only one way. There's no other way. The people at that time say, come on, there's no other way. There's no such thing as absolute truth. There's plenty of truth. There's relative truth. I can do anything. I can go as high as a mountain that can hold. You can climb up Mount Everest, right? And you can stay there. Or maybe the flood will never hit it, right? Or maybe I can hang on the ark. I remember at one time years ago, and this is a terrible thing, but I want to share with you. In 1975, when the plane took off from Vietnam, and people want to rush into the airplane to take off outside Vietnam because the communists came in. And people couldn't get in because it's so crowded. And so what? They hang on. Hang on what now? And so they go all the way down into the bottom of the airplane where the three-wheel hold the airplane, then grab on that wheel. And hopefully the wheel carry them through outside Vietnam to find a place of freedom. And guess what? When the plane took off, people hang on the wheel as tight as they could. What happened? The wheel what? Come into the airplane and they close the lid, right? And so people smushed to death. So in other words, you gotta hang on. When the time to enter the ark, you enter the ark. You don't just hang on. No way you can hang on. And so what does this mean? How are you gonna do this? How are you in the ark? So I want to share with you the first foundation to build this ark, the spiritual foundation. Are you ready to build your ark? There's only one way. Are you going to build today or not? Maybe, I don't know if God gave you 120 years or not, but it's time to build your ark. And here it is, a story I want you to visit in the book of John chapter 3. John chapter 3, that the spirit prophecy in the desire of age say clearly about Nicodemus. Page 171 say this, Nicodemus have come to the Lord thinking to enter into discussion with him, but Jesus laid bear the foundation principle of truth. This is the principle of truth that you find in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Here it is. Verse 1. There is a man, a Pharisee, named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. He knows the Bible inside out. He a wealthy man. He a loving man. He cares for people. He gives money out to help the poor people. Now, don't get me wrong. He's a very good man who seek after the truth where no one would do that. Here it is. This man came to Jesus by the night and said to him, Rabbi, first of all, let me tell you, Nicodemus is a very high ranking in Sanhedrin, okay, the highest, beside the high priest. No one you call rabbi. You are the rabbi. And here he came to Jesus by night, not let anyone know what's going on, and he called Jesus by rabbi. That's meaning he accept Jesus Christ, some type of great master. Okay? No, first of all, you got to understand this. Do not think that you have the greatest knowledge in the world and no one better than you. Nicodemus said, no, there's something else. I know this man. This man is something different from him. He might not graduate from Jerusalem University. He did not get his doctor. But something what he said is profound. He got to go after this man. Yes, by day everyone run after this man, but by night this man after Nicodemus go after Jesus. Now he thought he's probably going to have a good conversation with Jesus. He's going to learn something wonderful, and maybe Jesus could learn something from him. That's what he thought. Rabbi, we know that you are teachers come from God. Well, at that time, hardly anyone say that. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God with him. So in other words, you must be from God somehow. I don't know how, but you must be. And Jesus said to him, now Jesus said to him, before Jesus say anything, he already know what Nicodemus come here for, right? Right? He don't have to ask. Jesus can read people's mind. Most surely I say to you, unless you were born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, how in the world? I mean, Nicodemus would say, how in the world? How do you know I'm coming here for that? Jesus goes straightly, you coming here to ask me how can be saved, right? Yeah, okay, I'm saying to you, unless you're born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Born again? What do you mean by born again? You mean like some weirdo out in the desert like John the Baptist tried to baptize people in Jordan River? Yeah, how can you be born again? You know, I came from the most high place of Jerusalem. I accept Jesus Christ when I was born. And Jesus here, audacity to say that I have to be born again? You mean I have not born yet? I already in the church. I pay tithe faithfully. I go to church every Sabbath. I did everything perfect in the eyes of the people. And you say you have to born again? My friend, today many people think that you go to church so long, you're born in the church, you don't have to born again. No. If you believe in God, but you have not born again, you have to be born again now. And so here Nicodemus thinks about he needs to be born again, my friend. Yes, you and I, doesn't matter how long you know about God, you have to be born again. That's a foundation truth right there. You have to be born again with Jesus Christ. What do you mean by born again, does Nicodemus ask? And Jesus said, most surely I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What Jesus say? You have to be born with water and spirit. Well, John the Baptist born with water, but not only Jesus Christ come, then only people born in Jesus' name by the Spirit. So as a dialogue continue between Nicodemus and Jesus Christ, and then started thinking, what is Jesus Christ trying to say? He really want to understand what it is. He want to enter the kingdom of God, but Jesus said, you have to be born again. Now, Jesus is not going to say in general, but he tried to give Nicodemus a Bible study. You know that? And Jesus said, you know, in verse 10, Jesus answered to say to him, are you the teacher of Israel? Yeah, I'm a teacher of Israel. And do not know these things? What? What are you talking about? What things? You see, Jesus had to bring down to the level that people can understand. What level? Nicodemus level? So there are some things you have to unlearn, my friend. Something you have to unlearn. Because you learn so much, you have so much preconceived idea. And you think that you know everything. You know, when I first graduated from college, computer engineering, bachelor, I think I know everything. As the higher you go, guess what? Man, a lot of things I don't know. And that's what Nicodemus is facing this. I don't understand what you're talking about. I'm a teacher of Israel. What are you talking about? And so Jesus bring down to his level. Verse 12, if I told you earthly thing and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Now Jesus bring down to the earthly level. Now, so Nicodemus, his level, he know history very well. So now Jesus is going to quote from the Bible. Okay? Verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What does that have to do with salvation message? What does that have to do with enter the kingdom of God? And Jesus continues to say, whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Wow. Now, if we want to understand this very well, we got to go back, like a Bible study, go back here. And what is Jesus trying to talk about? Go with me in the book of Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. Exactly, Jesus pulled this message out of Numbers chapter 21. I hope the book of Numbers is not boring for you, because name and numbers, a whole bunch of things in there. But it's so important if you read carefully, especially verse chapter 21. Chapter 21, we start off that there's something about the people of Israel when God took them out of the wilderness. Okay? And God provided everything possible for them to escape out of Egypt. And God promised that you will enter the promised land, and doesn't take that long. You know how long if you go? It's only take 40 days. But because they unbelieve, right? They could enter right away when the people, when the 12, the 12 spies went into the land of promise. If they believed that day, they already entered the promised land. But because they do not believe in that, so they have to walk in the wilderness for how long? 40 days? 40 years. Wow. And so they walked so long. Verse 4, they were journeying from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. What does that mean? See, they go outside of the Red Sea, and they want to go forward, and there's other people try to come to kill them. And they ask Edom, okay, can we go through your land? Say, no, you can't enter our country. You have to go around. And so they have to go around. Just imagine. There's an army trying to block them in the front. There's an army in the back trying to chase them. And the other side is the river, Red Sea. They cannot go. And this side is the mountain. And so they stuck right in the middle. And now they feel discouraged. And the soul, continue verse 4, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. So they discouraged. Do you feel discouraged? A lot of times you say, where can I head now? Where do I go to school? Do I graduate? What job can I get? Or what? You're so discouraged. When people discourage, guess what? You should what? You should ask God for direction. And other people, did they ask God for direction? No. Verse 5, and the people spoke against God. And against who? Against Moses. You know, sometimes you can't fight God. You fight people who work for God. Okay, so they discouraged, And they ask, why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Why do you bring us out in the wilderness and kill us? For there's no food, no water, and our soul loathes for worthless bread. Boy, they curse. Did they curse Moses or curse God? It's God. They don't like manna. They don't like vegetarian food. They don't like fresh water come from the mountain. They want coffee. They want soda. They want something that they've been using when they were in Egypt. You know, God worked through them for 40 years to change the habit. You know that? How long are you willing to change your habit? It would take you 40 days, okay, or 40 years. See, it's because of us, not because of God. Because if we don't change our habit, we go into the promised land, we're going to be what? Slave into the people of the promised land again. So if I want to rescue you, God say, if you want me to redeem you, you got to change. And God have to help people to change. And when they complain so much, they rather go back to Egypt. They rather under the oppression of Pharaoh and die in Egypt. So many people ready will go back into the old world, ready under the oppression of Satan and die in addiction. My friend, God want us to take us through this. Nicodemus, we need to go through this as well. And so them complain so much, guess what? Verse 6, so the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many people of Israel died. Where did the serpent come from? Probably the mountain. Is there a serpent all along? How many people go hiking, especially in the desert? What we see, do you see snake? I hope not. When I was young, I saw some snake, you know. But you know, there's snake everywhere. Maybe you don't see it. And so when people walk in the desert, anything happened, right? But God protect them, and so they have not bitten by the serpent. And so when they complain, God, let us go. Do not protect me. I don't need you anymore. So when God withdraw his protection, guess what? The serpent right there bite them. You see, every day we go, everywhere we go, there's a temptation everywhere. Because God protects us, he's able to help us go through. But when you say, I do not need God protection anymore, guess what? Satan would love to come and help you. My friend, Jesus all the way along tried to protect us. But the people complain. And here, after they get bit, and they cried out to Moses, please, can you go to God and ask God to save us? They cried out to God in verse 8, and the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and sit on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he look at it, shall what? So live. And so Moses make a bronze serpent and put on a pole. And so it was, if the serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at and the bronze serpent, he shall live. Now, what does that mean? Now, the people don't know what's going on. What do you mean by that? So Moses did it anyway, but who believed? Without proof. Okay, sometimes people require proof before belief. You know, that's not faith. You know that, right? Faith is believing without seeing. Okay? And so here, how can the bronze serpent can save me? What does that mean? What does serpent represent? Not everyone say that it's the devil, okay? In this case, it's not. Because the devil cannot save us, right? So this case, it's not. And so, but he put a serpent on the pole. And whoever bit, whoever dying, look upon the serpent, shall live. And so when you have a poison enter your body, sooner or later, you will what? Die. Do you want to live? Look at the bronze serpent. Because in the serpent, there's poison. And so guess what? The story, what Jesus tried to teach Nicodemus about the story in the past is this: everyone sin, including you, Nicodemus. Everyone sin. Everyone. So everyone bit by the serpent, you die in the wilderness, you die under Satan's curse, and now if you look at the serpent, you will live. And so what does that mean? So now your poison is on you, you will die. But if you look at the serpent on the pole, or Christ on the cross, that means you accept Jesus Christ's death, then you be saved. Another word, that Christ on the cross take all the poison out of the Israel who curse against God. Now that's open the mind of Nicodemus right there. Only Jesus can save, not because you keep the law to be saved, but because you're saved, that's why you want to obey and keep the law. See, a lot of time we jump into John 3, 16 without reading 14 and 15. Jesus Christ died on the cross to let us know he died on the cross, on the pole, so everyone except him will live. And so when Jesus Christ comes to this earth, if we look at Jesus, that means we're willing to give up your life, accept Jesus Christ die for you, accept Jesus Christ, accept all your sin, then you shall live. So a lot of people, maybe like Nicodemus, have gone away puzzled about this idea. So does that mean I have to be born again? My friend, I'm telling you today, if you're not born again, according to the Bible, you will not enter the kingdom of God. And those who are already born again, but nay, there's a time we have to reborn. We have to. That's the only way. It's the only way when, let's say, God, please forgive me. I accept what I did as wrong. And I know that you pay my penalty on the cross. That's the only way. That's your spiritual foundation of building your ark. The spiritual foundation of building your ark is accept Jesus Christ carry your sin. Even though you say, no, I don't want Jesus to carry my sin. If you say that, that means you accept to carry your own sin. And everyone who sin is what? For the wage of sin is death. So I don't know what happened to Nicodemus at that time. But we went back home, he think about that again and again. He watched the life of Jesus Christ. The end, when Jesus Christ died, he decided to sow everything he had to help the Christian to spread the gospel. I believe that man born again. Are we born again? Do we believe enough to accept Jesus Christ and have this gospel preached far and wide? Only way we can save, like Noah, build the ark. And who built that ark? That's represent Jesus Christ. He is the one who saved us. No one else. So where are you now in the spiritual life? In the time that you build your ark, you place a spiritual foundation on that ark. You know, that ark would not survive if you don't have a strong foundation. And that spiritual foundation is nice and strong. Only Jesus can save you. I pray today that you accept Jesus Christ to build that foundation stronger and stronger every single day. That when the time comes, Jesus will take you through thick or thin. And when Jesus comes, and Jesus reached out his hand, come, those son and daughter, come and to inherit the kingdom of God that I have built for you. May God bless you.
Our excuse me, our closing prayer song is I Need Thee Every Hour. Can we please stand as we sing?